now it's time for Word on the Street. Soccer Sam welcomes the biggest names in Rochester sports, politics, media, and community to talk one-on-one. This is not your average interview show. Sam goes way beyond, some might say over the line, to get the inside dirt. Be a part of the show. Call or text 222-1280. Now live from the Fox Sports 1280 studios in downtown Rochester, this is Word on the Street. Here's Soccer Sam.
It's definitely the Word on the Street. We were supposed to have Sammy, what is it, Watkins? The guy you set up, Pam? Sammy Watkins from the Bills? We're supposed to have him on. He used to be for the Bills. The Bills cut one of their most popular players. But since we live in Rochester, New York, and this show is based out of Rochester, New York, we don't care what's going on in Buffalo, Pam. I'm sorry. I know you're a Bills fan. We don't care.
Pam is our producer. Rich Kicker Jones is on vacation. I forced Doug Miller to stay in the studio because, Doug, last week you promised me an indoor Lancer update, and then you were nowhere to be found. I kept on calling you. You're on vacation. I hurt my ankle. All these little stories. But then I have you on for a whole hour with the drug mules, with Mino and Anthony drug mule, and not a word about the indoor Lancers. So I'm calling Joshua Schwab right now. Schwab. I got Ed Hale, Tommy Tanner. They're all willing to come on the show and tell me what's really going on if you won't, Doug Miller. So what is going on?
Well, you know, I have to say I've been away because I was on the, you know, Kelly and Ryan show. You know,
I forgot about that. So you were on Kelly and
Ryan Seacrest, you know, and you know,
the Dancing Doug Miller.
That's right. So I mean, then I got, you know, phone calls for Dancing with the Stars.
That's awesome.
So You Think You Can Dance then was the next one, and then the World of Dance contacted my agent, wanting me, you know, to go out to those shows. So, you know, last week was a tough week, you know, because I was, you know, dancing.
So how could people see that? Where's that available to see? Is that on Facebook?
It's on the Book Face.
The Book Face.
If you go to Kelly and Ryan's Book Face, and on the Insta Ounce, I think it's on that as well. But it was a lot of fun. We were there for, you know, a modeling shoot for my daughter, and then we had tickets to go see it, and, you know, I was able to go up and make a fool of myself and get on live TV.
So what happens? You explain to me, they basically pick like four or five people that could dance. You go up there and you have a dance off, and you end up winning, then you get be part of the show.
Yeah, they do it every day. I think it's a dancing person or a dancing guy in my case. And so they brought four of us up there, and, you know, they let the audience cheer for you, and whoever gets the loudest cheer for making a fool of themselves, you know. And I think when I went to the sprinkler, and, you know, the old sprinkler, people really, you know, like that.
That locked them in. They're like, what's this guy stuck in the 90s here? But that's awesome, Doug. That was cool. I got to see it online, and I didn't get to see it live, but I know a lot of people saw it live. And that's kind of cool. And they said something that they usually don't say. They said Doug Miller from Rochester, New York. They gave you a shout out. They gave our city a shout out.
Yeah, so it was pretty cool because, you know, when we're standing in line, I said to the security guard, you know, because we were like maybe 15th in line and we're right by, you know, backstage. And I said, you know, do you think I'm going to get some time to work on my act, you know, get on stage before the show? And she said, good luck with that. So after I won, I had to go backstage and get, you know, the mic on and stuff like that, and saw a little bit behind the scenes. She goes, I guess I should have given you some time to get out there.
That is awesome. So did you get to meet Ryan Seacrest?
From a distance, you know, him saying hi to me, you know, you know, it's much different when you're there live and it goes by really quick than when you're watching it on TV, because after each segment, you know, he's, you know, kissing babies, shaking hands, taking pictures with the, you know, the studio audience. But, you know, we were probably 25 feet, you know, from, you know, him and the co-host, and, you know.
Yeah, who was the I didn't recognize the co-host because Kelly wasn't there because they had some other girl on there and I didn't know who she was.
That's his radio co-host.
Oh, I
got
it.
So they do the radio show right after it.
It wasn't that Enrique guy. Enrique, whatever.
No, I didn't know who they were. So, yeah. But they had some YouTubers on, you know, and you should have seen it because if you watch the show, they did a water flipping contest with the water bottle. And if you watch Ryan and talk about being competitive, now he's just the co-host. You're supposed to let, you know, people win and do well. But when he flips, they flip that big, you know, like water jug container. It's like one of those that go on the big water jugs from the office. the way he was jumping up and down in slow motion, they put it in slow motion, you could see it was like he just won the World Cup.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So it was good.
So Pam, before we go find out about indoor soccer, Doug just mentioned Ryan Seacrest. Now, I obviously 106.7, Ryan Seacrest is on that's part of the sister stations here on iHeartRadio. Enrique Santos, that name, right? Is that really Ryan Seacrest? Or is there an actual person?
I'm not sure.
Because like when he talks like normal, like he gets all animated when he says his name, but when he talks normal, it sounds just like Ryan Seacrest. I'm thinking it's his alter ego or something. Or is that an actual person?
Might be.
I gotta have somebody call in and let us know, because I mean I was listening to it this morning because he was substituting for someone, and on 106.7, and he just Enrique Santos. And you ever hear him?
No, but hey, listen, I know people with multiple voices.
Yeah, it could be, right? So, Doug, what is going on with indoor soccer? Probably 3 weeks ago, you said 95% chance that the Lancers would be back, indoor Lancers. So you had an issue with the league. Mm-hmm. And to my knowledge, the lawyers sent all the paperwork to the league, and the league is basically accepting the Lancers back as a new team, mm-hmm. as a team, mm-hmm. is that true?
That is correct.
That is correct. I think there's one little minor hurdle that you know they have to provide the league with, but the owners, all of them, voted the Lancers basically come back, except one owner said no.
Right.
But most of them thought that they should be back in the league. So that was one of the big hurdles.
Mm-hmm. We got past that one.
That one's passed. The other kind of, it's not really a hurdle, but the other hurdle is like the team and the players. And, you know, you and I agree on that we want to make this more of a local team. Mm-hmm. We want players that play in the Doug Miller program and play for all these other, you know, premier programs to have a place to play when they're done with college.
Yep.
So the goal is local players.
Yeah, the goal is local players. And again, you know, when people look at, you know, professional soccer, you know, there are some that are fortunate that can go from city to city and make a life, you know, for themselves. There's others that have gotten a really good education, that were really smart, that, you know, end up with really good jobs, and they find themselves in cities where maybe they can't play soccer because, you know, there's not a team there. So they have to make a choice and cut their soccer career short, although they could be those players who go from city to city, you know, like I did from, you know, 1991 till 2017.
Yeah, but you found a home in Rochester. In it's unfortunate that a lot of times players can't find a home in their own cities. We saw that in the NPSL. There's some really good talent there. Guys that just, for whatever reason, don't want to do that gypsy circuit and go from city to city. And new coach comes in, you're out of a job, and next guy. So now you've proven with the NPSL players that you could create enough talent here locally to be competitive in indoor soccer. You believe that?
Absolutely. I know from the players that have played for us, the other players that are in Western New York, again, what separates the players that were in college or just getting out of college to, you know, playing MLS is the details. And, you know, as a manager, as a coach, you're supposed to provide those details. And if they're, you know, smart players, then they can pick up on them and then, you know, duplicate and replicate the exact same emotions, you know, especially in indoor soccer, where outdoor, you know, it repeats itself maybe 10 times a game. Indoor, it could be 50 times a game.
Right.
And so if you can figure out, you know, in the schematic of the game, you know, being a student, then you can have success. And, you know, a lot of it comes down to set pieces, special teams, power play, penalty kill. But, you know, I think, you know, if you know, the guys that, you know, we have here, they're talented enough to go in there. And I think for some of them that have only played outdoor, you know, throughout their careers, I think some of them who are very technical, you know, would be that much more successful because it, you know, they have the ball, you know, instead of having it three times, they have it 15 times.
It's like a Michael Cunningham kind of player.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So again, for him, he disappeared in some of the games when it was outdoor, when the ball was on, you know, the weak side or something like that. And he wasn't involved, you know, for the 50 minutes that he was in or the 90 minutes he was in, where indoor soccer, it's a minute and a half. Okay. I might not get the ball on that shift, but the next shift, I might have it three times.
Right.
And, you know, with his technical ability and craftiness, you know, he could, you know, be a really good player.
So you got the coaching staff. There's you and Ray and
Adam.
Adam. You're good there. You obviously have the team. You think you have enough players locally. You have a training facility, this big dome on Westridge Road, the Doug Miller Dome, right?
Yep.
So that's going to be your training facility. I heard that you made a deal with the Lancer Dancers to come back, the Lancer Dancers that dance for the outdoor men's team. You made a deal with them to come back? Is that pretty close?
Yeah, I kind of strong-armed them, you know, since, you know, they're related to me. Again, it's, you know, part of why, you know, I continue to push this, you know, to make it happen is, you know, my oldest daughter is a senior. Kayla's going to be a senior, and then, you know, she's moving on to college. And, you know, they want to be a part of this. And, you know, they've kind of grown up in the last, you know, 6 years, you know, when it was the, you know, Lancers indoor when I was playing, then to when I was coaching, and then when it kind of, you know, took a hiatus, they went off to Syracuse and did it there because, you know, it's their outlet, you know, for dancing, and they really enjoy being around, you know, the players and the organization of soccer.
It's a family thing. And your wife, Carrie, is the coach of the Lady Lancer, the Lancer Dancers.
And yeah, and, you know, they enjoy it where they can, you know, make some great memories and some of the best memories we have, you know. And it was funny because we were home yesterday, you know, and, you know, Calista had one of her friends over, and, you know, we're sitting there, and, you know, we're pulling up YouTube games of when Cicluna, you know, in Detroit, we got into a fight, and I took my jacket off in the bench clearing brawl, you know, and, you know, Carrie was really mad at me, but, you know, I said, at least I took my suit jacket off.
Yeah, you didn't want to wrinkle that thing up. That was funny, but, so you got pretty much a lot of the key things. I already talked to, Lancer Louis, the dragon, the mascot. He's engaged now, but he said he will be there as soon as he's notified. So basically, you have a lot of the stuff in the place. Uniforms, you said you got in place, obviously. Sponsors, a lot of sponsors want to come back that sponsor the outdoor team. A lot of fans obviously want to come back. But there's obviously a glitch. So we have to go to break right now. We come back, I want to find out what that glitch is. Because, Doug, I mean, you, by now you should have made an announcement. You had to August 5th. Then they extended to August 15th, the league. Today's August 19th, buddy.
Today is 19.
Oh, your favorite number, Doug Miller, number 19. The number that you could see tonight at the Capelli Stadium, the retired number of Doug Miller. Tonight the Rhinos take on the Charleston Battery, 605. But so today is the 19th. You are 4 days late from giving the league the answer on what's going on. So I need to get this out of you. Pam, we have to go to break right now. When we come back, we're going to find out from Doug Miller what is going on. All right, Pam, can we go to break right now? All right, we're going to be back here on Word on the Street here on Fox Sports 1280 Rochester, New York.
I have, like, goals of things that I want to accomplish.
You know, I got a couple trips lined up, so it would be nice to have some pocket change for that.
Whenever you get your check, you got to set aside a certain percentage of your gross or your net.
I try to motivate people.
Find somebody, pat them on the back, find something to make somebody else smile.
Any charity that calls me and asks me to donate a painting, I will do it.
You got 300 million people, and if everybody did the little things, it would be better.
Better is all around us. It's why Wells Fargo is listening and building better every day.
Got a paint project you haven't started? Now's the time to begin. The Home Depot has Behr Premium Plus interior paint starting at just $23.97. It's a paint and primer in one, so you're not covering the same wall over and over. You paint it, then move on to the next one. We're pouring more into paint with unbeatable prices on Behr Premium Plus interior paint, now starting at just $23.97. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. U.S. only. See store for details.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life. And I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living.
We're back.
Here.
It's the word on the street. A lot of challenges going on in America right now. Just want everyone out to remember, be proud to be an American.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I'm glad.
greatest country in the world.
Sammy, just look out the window, and you can see the flag blowing over there. That's, see it?
Yeah, I see it. It's beautiful, man.
Yeah.
I just hope everybody just could get along, make it all work. Pam, do we have a guest on? We do have a guest on. Tommy Tanner, number 8, former Rhinos superstar, captain, legend, indoor and outdoor legend. Tommy, now with the Syracuse Silver Knights. What is going on in Syracuse, Tommy? You were on that call last week when they were debating on allowing the Lancers back in the league, but my boy Tommy came through and said, of course we want the Lancers back in the league. How are you doing, Tommy?
I'm doing great, Sam. Yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. Tell me about the Silver Knights and all the changes up there in Syracuse and what's going on with your team.
Well, I mean, Ryan Hall is the new coach. He finished off the season last year. We're excited. You know, he's already worked. We're going to have 2 combines. Got a combine here at the end of August and then another one, I think, late September. And, you know, he's on the phone talking to players. We're probably going to go to Canada. We may go to Serbia to go over there and look at players. So Ryan has a busy schedule for us.
That is a lot of Serbian players, are great dribblers and great indoor players. Some of the greatest Serbian / Yugoslavian, old Yugoslavian players were the greatest players ever to play this game, including Steve Zungo and Branko Sagoda and company. So that is a great place to scout, Tommy. So, I mean, you guys are still playing in the Syracuse On Center.
Yeah, we're in the War Memorial. We're excited. And again, we're excited for year 7. So we're excited the Lancers are going to be back.
Well, the Lancers are trying to come back, and Doug has a little glitch that we're going to talk about the next part of the show, Tommy. So he's got one little glitch we're going to try to work out. Year 7, though, Tommy, you started this thing in 2011. Did you think 7 years later, man, this is probably one of the longest indoor franchises in modern history?
And the sad thing is, Sammy, is we still, people in Syracuse still don't know that we're a professional team in Syracuse. You know, soccer needs to get more publicity in Syracuse and Rochester and some of these smaller cities. So we don't ever have to worry about not being back.
So you could go online.
We're excited.
You're excited. You go online and get a season ticket to the Syracuse Silver Knights. Any big new signings or old players coming back that you can mention right now in the air where the Rochester fans that want to buy season tickets for possibly both teams want to come and watch you guys, Tommy?
Well, I mean, Canardo Forbes, so hopefully will be sending his contract in shortly. So the Rhino Canardo, who we who started with us, is coming back. We've lost a few players. You know, Antonio Manfoot went to RGV and a couple other, but we're going to have some Ryan Hall is talking to some big-time major veteran players who we should have signed here in the next few weeks.
That is fantastic, Tommy Tanner. Joshua Schaub, you guys voted him, the owners voted him to extend his contract for one more year. Tell me about the job the commissioner of the Major Arena Soccer League has done this year.
Well, I'll say he holds a hard line. I mean, he demands professionalism, and if you don't have it, you know, you get fined. I mean, and or kicked out of the league. So, I mean, he's done a really, really good job in holding every single team to the same standard, which I think, and obviously in the long run, it's made some people unhappy. You know, maybe our league has less teams because of it, because of some of the standards that we set. But in the long run, we know that the indoor professional soccer is going to be here for a while.
That is fantastic. Now, Tommy, what is your role going to be with the team officially? What are you going to do for the team?
Well, I'm still the president. I'm trying to get rid of every job I possibly ever had, Sam. You know, I'm selling the bar. I'm no longer. I think I'm still general manager, but you know, my role is just to get more people to the game. You know, get more soccer people to the game, and help with sponsorship, help with group sales, because at the end of the day, it's all about the fans coming to your games and keep coming back. And we've done a good job of it, obviously, because we're still going in year 7, but there's a lot of room for improvement. We've added a game this year, so now we're up to 22 games, which is exciting. When we played, Sammy, me and Doug played, the season was 40 games.
Wow.
So, you know, we're looking to expand the season longer and be able to make a place where players can play indoor and make a career out of it.
So you're going to have 11 home games this year, Tommy?
So 11 home games, 11 away games.
11 home, and obviously, hopefully, playoffs for the Syracuse Silver Knights. My favorite, my second favorite indoor team, if the Lancers come back. If they don't come back, my favorite indoor team, the Syracuse Silver Knights. Tommy Tanner, the founder, one of the owners, and the president of the Syracuse Silver Knights, thank you so much for being part of Kick This Worldwide.
Thanks, and we need to make sure that Rochester comes back. So if there's anything that the fans in Syracuse can do, or myself or our organization to do to make sure that the Lancers are back, you know, please let us know.
Yeah, if you know a Mason that could build a building real fast, but we're going to talk about that when we get back from break. Tommy Tanner, best of luck with the Syracuse Silver Knights. We'll have you on all season long and have your players on the Kick This Hour every week here on Fox Sports 1280 Rochester.
Sam, you're telling me you don't have 100 Italians that can come and build that building in 2 weeks?
Okay, yeah, a lot of them are retired now, so we're trying, man. The new Italians they're doing the Facebook and the internet stuff. They're not Masons anymore.
All right, buddy. All right. Great talking to you.
Thank you, Tanner. What a man, Doug. You and Tommy go way back. You guys came to Rochester together as roommates, right, with the Cleveland Crunch.
Yeah, I mean, we go back to the draft, 91, when, you know, he was at NC State, I was at Loyola. We went to Kansas City out, you know, for the college all-star game, and he was drafted, I was drafted. He was drafted to Cleveland, I was drafted, you know, to Kansas City, where it was, you know, the game was being held, and they ended up folding. So I went back to school in Baltimore and played my first year in Baltimore with the Blast, and he was in Cleveland, and, you know, 4 years later, 94, I went out to Cleveland. We teamed up, and, you know, we played 94, 95, 96, and then we played, you know, for the Rhinos. He went back to Cleveland. I went to Buffalo at the time, you know.
The
Blizzard at that time. So, you know, but every season we came back, you know, to play outdoor with the Rhinos.
Yeah, Frontier Field, selling out that baby and winning the U.S. Open Cup. I just saw Soccer Santino and I was showing him the highlights on YouTube. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
YouTube, and there was the one where you scored the goal against the Colorado Rapids in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, they're just doing, you know, a big story on that because Cincinnati was in the Final Four. Again, a USL, you know, pro team, you know, playing in the Final Four of the U.S. Open Cup. So, you know, I did a whole interview maybe last week about it, you know, and, you know, kind of reminiscing about that run, you know, that really I wasn't much involved until the very, very end. And then into the playoffs going, you know, to the finals of the A-League as well.
You scored the goal, and I was watching with my nephew in Soccer Santino, Dante, and he noticed that Mauro Biello, who's now the coach of Montreal Impact, was on that team with you.
Yeah, Mauro Biello, Pat Onstead, who's the assistant coach in Columbus. You know, so there's, you know, the guys that, you know, were heavily involved at that time are, you know, doing stints in, you know, MLS right now, and, you know, they have the cities that they lived in that turned into MLS, and, you know, so they, you know, got those opportunities.
They got jobs there, and Chris Economides, there's one shot on that video where he's laying on the floor because somebody went to hug him and his legs collapsed, so now Chris is with the Tropics, the Florida Tropics. They just signed one of your friends.
Yeah, Salas. So,
Mauricio Salas is going to be a Tropics player.
For sure. So he went, you know, from being out in Ontario, you know, California to, you know, Mexico, and losing in the finals to Baltimore. And now he's closer to Brazil, in Florida, instead of
Florida's just like Brazil. There's so many Brazilians there, and Portuguese and Italians. Yeah. It's like, and the weather's beautiful all the time.
Yeah, so that's awesome for, you know, Mauricio, you know, because, you know, he's, you know, this is his passion, this is his life, and, you know, he always stays fit. You know, and another opportunity to, you know, being in an environment where, you know, he can grow.
They signed another player the other day, the Tropics, the guy with the long ponytail was at practice for our last season for a bunch of times. He was Bassos' friend. His last name's Hall, I believe.
He played out in Ontario with Steve
Basso, the defender of the year.
Ty Hall.
Ty Hall.
Yeah.
So Ty Hall is on the team also. So, and, you know, obviously Mauricio played a lot with him at practice. He was with us for at least 2-3 weeks practicing here for the Lancers. And at the time, you just couldn't find a spot on the roster for him. So, Doug, we come back here on Word on the Street.
Word on the Street.
I need to know what is going on? You got three buildings in Rochester. Last week I teased the RIT thing, and Michael Lewis ran with it. Michael Lewis is one of the best soccer writers in America, frontrowsoccer.com. And I want to know what happened with RIT, what happened with Dome Arena, what's going on with Blue Cross Arena. Three buildings. The league says yes. You got everything else in place. Players, dance team, uniforms, sponsors, training facility. Where are you guys going to play? When we come back, I need to find out, all right?
Sounds good.
We'll be back here on Word on the Street with Doug Miller, the living legend of Rochester soccer.
Right now at Kohl's Friends and Family Sale, take an extra 20% off your purchase. Get the gear, win the school year. With an extra 20% off, kids' licensed tees are just $6.40. Young men's baseball tees are only $10.39. And juniors' plaid wovens are $11.99. Plus, everyone gets Kohl's cash. And Maryland, pay no sales tax through Saturday. Game on. Kohl's. Select styles, 20% offer valid August 17th through 20th with promo code FRIEND20. Some exclusions apply. See store or kohls.com for details.
Hi, I'm Wendy Zukerman, host of Gimlet Media's podcast, Science Versus. When it comes to controversial topics, there's lots of opinions. Uncle Gary, I'm looking at you. But then there's science. Science Versus is the show that finds out what's fact, what's not, and what's somewhere in between. So win the next argument with your Uncle Gary using science. You can listen to Science Versus for free wherever you get your podcasts. That's Science the S.
Want to transform a room for less than $20? The Home Depot has the secret formula. We call it paint. From our top brands like Behr and Glidden, starting at just $17.97 a gallon. There's no easier way to take your walls from okay to oh wow. And at these prices, there's no reason to leave any wall behind. Get your project rolling with top paint brands, starting at only $17.97 a gallon at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only.
It's Word on the Street. Pam's pushing the buttons in the studio. Pam from Hilton, former soccer player. Who sings this song, Pam? What's this song? It sounds familiar.
James Brown.
James Brown.
Woo!
Greatest country in the world. Come on, everybody, just get along. Let's make this country bad. Hey, speaking of living in America, last week we had Rocky Parada on the show. We did a tribute to Rocky Parada, who's been the voice, the man behind the voice is what we called it. And what a guy, Rocky Parada, huh? The years you've known him
yeah.
for the Rhinos and now the Lancers, indoor Lancers, and he does all the other teams in town.
It's incredible, you know, and, you know, it's kind of, you know, like the journey that you take in life, and then when you look back, you know, the memories that, you know, you've created because he's met so many of the players and not just soccer but other sports as well.
He got to live through, he said he never was able to play the sport, but he was part of it by just kind of doing the announcing and being part of the team. So that's kind of cool. So, Doug, last week I said, and Michael Lewis ran with this because he is on his game and he cares about soccer, that you had a meeting with RIT. I thought it was going to be the place. Brand new facility, 4,000 seats, beautiful. They had a lot of open dates. Tell me about that adventure that you had this week with RIT.
Yeah, so, you know, we met over there, you know, I think Tuesday or Wednesday, and really excited because I got there early, you know, walked inside, you know, coming in from 80 degrees. Yeah, it was a bit chilly because they still have the ice down and the kids are playing hockey, but walking in and seeing the stadium reminded me of other, you know, indoor arenas that we've played in, you know, in the past. You know, 4,000 seats. You know, I think it was probably, you know, like 195 by 85, maybe 200 by 85. So it was a really good, you know, surface. You know, it was right on top of, you know, the field. They had some luxury boxes that you had. So, you know, I walked back outside to, you know, when you got there and I'm like, man, this is a nice looking arena. It's, you know, not as big as, you know, BCA. You know, it'll be hopefully an easier sell for us. And
it's like Kansas City. It reminds me of the Kansas City Comets arena.
Yeah, Missouri now.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Missouri Comets.
No, they changed it back to Kansas City. Yeah.
So, yeah, I was excited. We got into the office, you know, and met with Jordan and
Luke.
And Luke, and then went back out to see because he was like, you know, yeah, we've got, I've marked down the dates. I haven't talked to the coaches yet, but we've got, the 11 dates that you need. And they were going to be pretty good dates.
We were so excited because, I mean, it's a brand new building, beautiful scoreboards, locker rooms, gym for the players.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got everything.
The workout center is right around the corner.
Yeah, it has, plenty of parking. And Rocky Parada kind of, brought that to my attention. Like, hey, have you guys talked about RIT? And when we went there like 3 years ago at the time, they had a lot of open skates. There was no date. So I guess they moved the open skating to Ritter Arena. So there was a lot of open dates. So we had the open dates. Luke and Jordan look all excited. They look all official. They had stuff in their hands and paperwork. So we go out to the arena.
Well, that's when Luke dropped a bit of a bomb. And, he said, have you seen, the north end of the ice? I'm like, yeah, I saw the north end of the ice. He says, well, we're not sure, what are we going to do with the goal? I'm like, what do you mean, what are we going to do with the goal? And then he, described the fact that there's a 10-inch piece of concrete that, they don't have an ice dam on the north side. And I'm like, well, the Zamboni comes in the other side. Isn't it similar to that side? And he's like, no. So we walked down there and we got down there and we saw from where we were standing that the ice is actually 10 inches down.
It's lower.
Lower.
I think it was more like 12 inches. He said between 10 and 12 inches. So basically the ice, if you're getting a visual, you'd have to, if you're walking around the arena, you don't tell, but the way it was built, so if you're sitting on the first or second row near the boards, you could see the play, you could see the puck.
Mm-hmm.
So they built the ice lower than that, so now you have to step down, which is great for hockey, but once you take up the boards, what happens, Doug?
Well, you have to take the boards out to put our goal in, and that wasn't a problem, but there's no ice dam that's going to keep the ice in on that side, and we'd have to, cut out concrete, which, is probably 14 feet by 18 inches in depth. Now you're talking about to a college, taking out this concrete, and then, that's where the handicap accessible, and the fans that come and watch the hockey, that's where they sit. So now you're taking away their venue for the hockey. And so, something that was, ultimately promising, for that period of time, I was like, and then the dagger kind of hit. And
it seemed like a done deal, but the bottom line is that, if you put the goals inside of the nets, the boards, you would have a step. So the goalie would step back and he'd have a 12-inch step behind him. If you took a shot, the ball would hit the step. And there's no way you could build a ramp or anything. So you'd have to actually cut out the cement. Probably there's ice tubes and water tubes and everything to do the ice. So it's just, so we left there deflated.
Well, I think it was, we even tried to, hey, what if we took out two curved boards and moved it up to where then we wouldn't have to cut the concrete. And again, when they designed it, they didn't, I believe it's called an ice dam where the Zamboni comes in, which keeps the ice in. On this side, it's the boards that actually keep the ice in, not an ice dam. So, deflated was an understatement.
Yeah, and we couldn't put the temporary boards up the pro wall because you have to anchor them into the ice, and then you'd be drilling holes into the ice, and that wouldn't work well if you're just a temporary tenant for one game. So that was done. RIT was done, which you thought and I thought was going to work. And thanks to Rocky Parada, he kind of, and Jordan, she did a, Jordan Steffen did a great job getting this, a meeting there right away. So that didn't work out. Let's go back to the Dome Arena. We went there when Frank Imburgia and Anthony Ogliavanti and company started doing renovation, and they transformed this Dome Arena to this immaculate facility. State of the art. Ceiling with the light show, LED light show. Locker rooms are state-of-the-art. The bar area, the suite area, the seating. 20-inch seats for guys like me that are bigger. Comfortable seating. There's about almost 1,000 seats on the upper level. So I go there one night with you, and they put up the boards. They had the pro wall that they used for lacrosse. And tell me what you thought of the pro wall.
Yeah, so they set it up. We brought some of the players in and knocked the ball around. It was a bit small, the ones that we had set up. And then we had some extra boards sitting on the sides and trying to fit it into it. And, we actually came up with a dimension, I think, of 192 by 75. where, you know, it would fit perfectly. And, you know, we'd have to, you know, figure out, you know, how to get the goal in there. And, you know, the rounded boards in the back. You know, and I was like, okay, this is a really, you know, cool, you know, much smaller environment, you know, in regards to, you know, indoor soccer, the fans would be right on top of them. But again, 4,000 seats, you know, what the league wants us to have inside there is, and then it became, how are we going to get, you know, the extra seating in there? And, you know, it was bleachers. It was, you know, bleacher seating.
And they said they were going to provide all this. They're going to provide the bleacher seating. They're going to provide the scoreboard. It's no problem. We'll make this happen. And it went on, like, several meetings. I brought a bunch of people there for their input and what they thought, and everyone said, this is the place. It's smaller, it's cozier, 4,000 people in this building, it'll rock. And what happened?
Well, I think, you know, it became, you know, us trying to recreate locker rooms. And, you know, it was kind of like, do we really want to, you know, put this investment into, you know, making it, you know, move forward? And I think, you know, for that arena to, you know, be used for other sports, for Section 5, you know, for wrestling, these are all things, you know, that, you know, the business needs to have, you know, to make it, you know.
Volleyball.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be so many different things, basketball, but you need a scoreboard and you need more seating because 1,000 seating is just not enough.
Correct.
And then they decided that they weren't in the position right now to invest into that building for us. If we wanted to invest into it, it'd be no problem, right?
Yeah, but again, you're investing into a building you don't own.
Right.
That doesn't make, you know, business sense. Again, you know, for me, I'd love to have tenants come in and upgrade my facility, you know, because they're going to be training there or playing there. So, unfortunately, you know, I'm not really sure where that leaves us in regards to the Dome Arena.
So the Dome Arena is pretty much a dead issue. And the reason that the Dome was in place and the reason that RIT looked promising was because of issues at Blue Cross Arena. So we come back from the next break. I want to find out what is going on at the Blue Cross Arena. Why wasn't that your first choice to begin with? I want to find out what, you know, people want to know. I mean, that's where you played before. The carpet's already there. The boards are there. The seats are there. It's downtown Rochester. It's the War Memorial. I call it the Black and Blue War Memorial. We got to find out why you were looking at other places when you come back, all right?
You got it.
All right, Pam, let's go to the next break, our last break. Come back in 2 minutes. We're going to find out with Doug Miller. Where are they going to play? What happened with the Blue Cross Arena? Is it going to happen? And are the indoor Lancers coming back or not? Here on Word on the Street.
Hurt in a car? Call William Attar. Years ago at William Attar, we began focusing on motor vehicle accidents because we believe that specific skills would be needed to fight the big insurance companies. Motor vehicle cases can be complex. At William Attar, our focus can help maximize results by putting our skills and experience to work for you. The firm with the focus, the firm with the fours. 444-4444. Main Street, Williamsville, West Main Street, Rochester.
Something massive has happened to the iHeartRadio app. We listen to your ideas and suggestions. Everything you had to tell us about how we could improve your listening experience. And the result is the newly designed iHeartRadio app. It's not an update, but a complete upgrade. With one goal in mind. Getting you closer to the music you love.
This is Dan from Imagine Dragons, and this is iHeartRadio.
Download and open the new iHeartRadio app today.
Monday morning, there's no better way to begin your sports week than with Clay Travis. It's Outkick the Coverage. Monday morning, 6 till 9 on Fox Sports 1280 Rochester.
Sing it, Dougie. Greatest country in the world. We're back. It's Word on the Street. We bumped Sammy Watkins from the formerly Bills player for this breaking story today. Doug Miller, Indoor Lancers, Blue Cross Arena. That's who you played before. Why did you jump and go to those other arenas and not the Blue Cross Arena from the get-go with Mr. Calkins. Doug, what's going on here? Well, is there something I need to know?
No. Again, you know, I think it comes down to, you know, the dates, you know, in regards to, you know, having good prime, you know, dates, you know, throughout the season. I mean, part of, you know, making, you know, the Lancers successful is ticket revenue, you know, getting butts in the seats. And as you can see, you know, their sports teams in Rochester have a difficult time sometimes doing that. And
No media coverage, no local media coverage. So the local teams struggle with that. And then if you play in wacky dates, I mean, you know, like I mean, the Rhinos own their facility, so they could play on a Saturday night, which is cool. The Red Wings own their facility; they could play when they should, and that works for them. They've been having some sellout crowds, but some of the other teams that get stuck with not so great dates, like the Razor Sharks and the Nighthawks, you know, they sometimes struggle with these dates, and the Rattlers they struggle with the off dates.
Yeah, I think that's the major concern, you know, moving forward, because part of the, you know, the model, you know, to make this successful, you know, moving forward for the next 20 years is how do we get people in the seats, selling season tickets, and, you know, do people want to come on a Tuesday night, you know, to watch a game, you know, when they could be, or a Monday night when they could be watching So You Think You Can Dance. So I think, you know, that's, you know, the biggest concern. You know, Blue Cross Arena, you know, is a big stadium. It holds, you know, like 12,000 people. You know, again, to try and sell out 12,000 people, we did that a couple times, you know, where we were close to that, you know, when we did all those dedications. But, you know, it's a big venue. And, you know, making it bigger back, you know, 8 years ago when they did, was thinking that, you know, it was going to grow. And I think, you know, that's part of where people don't have the urgency to go and purchase tickets up front. You know, but, there's 12,000 seats. I can get a ticket. I'll just go buy a ticket, right, you know, the day of the game.
It's definitely hurt the Amherst Nighthawks, all of them, because, you know, it's just, there's no urgency. Like you said, it's like those new movie theaters. Mm-hmm. If you don't buy your ticket a day ahead or whatever, if you want to see a good movie, forget it. You can't get a seat because it's limited seating.
So, again, I think, you know, for us, when we did, you know, the Dead Zone, you know, we did the same thing. We did online registration so you don't, you know, have to wait in lines for your haunted zombie, you know, hunt or anything like that. You know, I think this is the same type of thing where how do we create that urgency, you know, for the fans to want to be a part, you know, of bringing the Lancers back. We did, you know, a really great job, you know, this summer. And we want to continue to make this a year-round opportunity for, you know, the community and the players that, you know, reside in, you know, Rochester, New York. Because I think, you know, it's an exciting thing. And some of the best memories I have, you know, have to do with the Lancers, have to do with the Rhinos. You know, I met my wife here. You know, being involved in soccer, you know, this is our passion. This is, you know, what, you know, makes us tick.
So they didn't have any dates for you at the Blue Cross Arena. They had dates, but like weekday night games that would not work with families or Sundays during the NFL. You decide to go look at these other venues. They both looked promising, didn't work. Now, where are you going to play, Doug? What did you go back to the Blue? Tell me, what is going on? Is there a new arena I don't know about?
No, unfortunately, there's not a new arena. So, you know, I had a great conversation with Jeff Calkins.
Jeff Calkins from the Blue Cross Arena?
From the Blue Cross
Arena. He runs the building, right, still?
Yep, he runs the building. And, you know, we talked about, you know, the option, you know, of coming back. You know, it's known. You know, people know where they are. They're coming down into downtown. You know, the revival of downtown. We want to, you know, there's a lot of people who are moving into downtown. They need things, you know, to do, you know, in the wintertime. And so we, you know, he's provided us, you know, 13 dates that he saved. They're not the, you know, prime dates, you know, that we think we can, you know, get 4,000 or 5,000 people at those games. It's tough when you have to, you know, possibly play on a Thursday night. But again, if you create that and you get that community support, you know, people have to have that buy-in. As I said to many people, I think for the teams that are successful, you know, there's some loyalty to the players and obligations that I feel obligated that I go and support, you know, these players that are playing, you know, in the community. And that's what we're looking for. And, you know, Jeff responded back, you know, the dates, you know, that he provided us, he saved, you know, the idea is, you know, Monday to go back and meet with him about trying to get some of those holds, you know, that are on those, you know, Saturdays.
That's a killer thing we had for the 4 years there, is that the hold dates that are for potential events or potential concerts, those are an issue because usually those don't happen and they're prime dates.
I think if we, from the dates that he's provided us, that, you know, I believe he can give us a lease to go back to the league, which is the final, you know, component to, you know, make that, you know, big announcement. I think if he can give us one or two of those hold dates, that he may, you know, there's a 20% chance that it's really going to happen. I think then, you know, we can, you know, move forward. And bring the Lancers back, you know, for indoor. It's just, you know, that final meeting, you know, from the email he sent me. The league is looking for, you know, us to provide, you know, them with a lease. And again, it's the dates, you know. So a couple tweaked, maybe some doubleheaders, if we can possibly pull that off, to give us an opportunity. And I think, you know, in business sense, if, you know, there's two different organizations that are struggling, that are in, you know, polar opposite sports, that can partner to package something together, to where you get a matinee and then you get, you know, an evening opportunity to go to a game, you know, that cross marketing may be, you know, the killer punch that, you know, people are trying to reinvent the wheel. And again, instead of trying to reinvent it, you know, partner, you know, with other organizations that may cross market, you know, the audiences.
Yeah. So what that means is in the earlier days of the Lancers, the first 3 years, indoor Lancers, they had doubleheaders with the Amerks and the Nighthawks. The fourth year, those became limited because now the Amerks and Nighthawks wanted the building for the whole day to do camps and clinics. So they kind of like locked us out. And it probably was a lot of pressure for the staff, you know, carpet up, carpet down, you know, ice getting ready. You know, there was some Amherst games where the ice wasn't 100% ready. So there were some issues there. But if you could free up a few of those doubleheaders, meaning getting rid of a couple of the Thursdays and a couple of the Sundays during the NFL season, I mean, if you're going to play NFL season, that's one thing. But you can't play in Rochester, New York if the Bills are playing home or away. You just can't. You got to look at that. Because no one's going to come, Doug. You know that. I mean, this city is just, you know, either they love the Bills or they hate the Bills. But when the Bills are playing, they're watching to either love them or hate them. And that's what happens.
I think, you know, one of the marketing strategies is to have, you know, the Bills playing on the billboard while we're playing.
Yeah, no replays. Just have the Bills on the scoreboard. But I mean, so you're basically saying if you meet with Jeff Calkins and he could give you 11 decent dates, not great dates, but decent dates, you're most likely going to do this. I mean, when are you going to know by?
Well, you know, we need to, you know, the league has extended us, you know, again and again, you know, to, you know, try and find the venue. So by, you know, Thursday, Friday of this week, you know, get the lease to the league, you know, and hopefully, you know, maybe make the announcement live, you know, next week on the Kick This Show, that the Lancers are coming back, you know, to play indoor. Again, it tweaked some of the dates. I think, you know, people know, Blue Cross Arena. It's where, you know, we've been, you know, the home of the Lancers for the last, you know, 4 years, you know, where you're trying to recreate it at a different venue. You know, I think it makes the most sense.
So, interesting, man. So, if you can't get the dates in the lease by the end of this week, is it fair to say that for sure next year there's going to be an indoor Lancers?
Yeah, you know, again, I would like to think so. But again, if you know, it's up to the league to now come back and say, well, we're now going back on, you know, another hiatus. You know, we have to, you know, try and build up momentum, and I think we had, you know, tremendous momentum this summer in regards to it. I think, you know, there's a lot of traction that we can build on. Again, you know, like you said, we want to build this local. You know, the players, there's 13 already that played for us in the summer that, you know, are already committed to, you know, playing, you know, this winter. We want to, you know, try and continue to move forward.
That's fantastic. So, I personally don't have a problem with Sundays, you know, when the Bills aren't playing. I think, you know, if there's a, you know, 1 o'clock Lancer game and there's, you know, I'm home by 4 to watch an NFL game, I think I'm satisfied. Thursday nights, isn't usually prime television nights, because, you know, believe it or not, usually, you know, TV is a big component, is a big competitor in the winter. Primetime television, you know, draw big people. And people don't want to leave their TV sets anymore during the winter when it's cold in a city like ours. So, but if you look at the Party in the Park and some of the things that they're doing on Thursday nights, if you could create that energy where a band and music and everything on a Thursday night, you may draw maybe not as many families or as many people that have to get up early morning to go to work on Friday, but you may draw that late night crowd that go to bars anyway on Thursday nights.
Yeah, I think, whenever you look at the dates, you don't know whether people are going to show up. And that's where it comes down to, you know, having that obligation and support. I mean, I look at, you know, some of these MLS teams that we played against back in the late 90s, Seattle, Vancouver, Montreal, Toronto. You know, there's 30, 40, 50,000 plus people that, you know, are going to these games. They're marching before the games. And again, when we played them, there were 25.
Yeah.
You know, and so how did it go from 25 to 30,000? And again, it's that obligation of feeling support. Yeah, it's a major league sport, but we are a major arena sport.
Right.
And so I think it just comes to the community stepping behind. And, the goal is, you know, 1,500 season tickets and then selling another, you know, 2,500, you know, general admission tickets every game. And I don't think that's a lot to ask, you know, of a community that's, you know, a million people.
Yeah, and it'd be great if you get the city behind you. Like you said, the city of Rochester is growing like crazy, and, you know, people need things to do. The kind of people that are living downtown or moving in downtown are the young professionals and the people my age that want to, like, downsize and kind of like, hey, you know, I go out every night to dinner or whatever. I don't have kids at home. They want to do something. They go to the Red Wing games in the summer. They go to the Rhino games. In the winter, they go to the Amherst games and Nighthawk games. But, you know, not everyone is a hockey fan or a lacrosse fan. So giving them another choice is not a bad thing.
I think, you know, the city, you know, and hopefully, you know, they'll jump, you know, behind us and help us give it that final push. But again, you know, as the city grows and all the things that, you know, are coming to downtown, you know, you want to keep people engaged. And, you know, again, this was Soccer Town USA. And, how does it go from Soccer Town USA to, you know, not having outdoor and indoor soccer here?
It's sickening, I know. Well, Doug, sounds like Monday is a big day for you to try to get Jeff Calkins to confirm the dates, to maybe squeeze you into some of these whole dates, and maybe get you some doubleheaders. And, you know, it's not, I think if you had to play a couple Thursdays and a couple Sundays during the NFL, it's not the end of the world. As long as the other, you know, six or seven dates are decent Friday, Saturday nights, I think you can make the numbers work.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, I look at it, there's a lot of knowns that you have at Blue Cross Arena. And again, you know, we're just to get those dates, remedied, and hopefully that's on Monday, and get the lease to the league and hopefully make an announcement next weekend.
So, coaching wise, are you gonna coach and play like you did the final year? Or are you gonna stick to just coaching like you did this year or the summer league? Have you decided that yet?
Yeah, I mean, right now, my plan is just to coach, try and give these younger players the details. You know, my generation was, I think, the 90s, the 2000s, I'm almost a half a century. So I think it's time for the Michael Cunninghams, the Austin Gerbers, you know, the Jake Schindlers, those guys, you know, to, you know, have their run at this.
But, you know, I think if you do bring back the indoor Lancers, which just sounds like you're really close, I think you should at least play one game, Doug Miller's farewell indoor game, because you never had an official farewell game. You had the one game where your parents were there and your sisters were there because you had won the league MVP in the final year they were there for you to get the award. But we haven't really given you a farewell indoor game. And I think once you get the schedule, if there's a date that works for you to kind of, you know, you're in shape right now. I saw you play, you know, in some of the men's leagues, and you're still amazing. I'd love to see you at least play one game as Doug Miller's farewell indoor game.
Well, if we pull this off, we'll mark some date, you know, in January as the Doug Miller farewell game to the indoor Lancers. Retire for the fifth and last time.
Well, that game, though, I want to be on the bench with the suit on. Could I?
Yeah.
I'm a coach?
You can be the coach.
I would like to put that on my resume. I coached an indoor pro team once.
Absolutely. I mean, I put on my resume I coached the Brazilian national team indoors.
You did. Yeah. You did coach the Brazilian national team. So I was rooting for them, by the way. I mean, I was rooting for USA. USA played Brazil in a tournament 2 weeks ago. But when the game was getting closer, and I'm thinking, that's my team right there. We traveled around the country with these guys. Yeah. Doug coached them, and but that was fun. Well, Doug, I'm going to stay on this Monday. I'm going to call you, find out what's going on. I know Michael Lewis from Front Row Soccer is going to be on this. Soccer's a kick in the grass. Monday nights, they're going to want to know how your meeting went. Andrew's going to be bugging me and want to know because he's into it. So we should know, right, by next week.
By next week.
Well, for Pam, our producer. Pam, great job, by the way. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Pam from Hilton. Soccer Santino, my bodyguard. And Doug Miller, the living legend of Rochester soccer. Maybe more than just Rochester, but the Lancers indoor team may be back. Doug's going to know early next week for sure. If the league accepts his lease, this could happen.
Certainly could.
Maybe a couple Thursday night games, might be a couple Sunday games, but it could happen to people that really want it back.
Well, I think, here's a challenge. If you want it, post on Bookface and ChatSnap and on the InstaOunce, you know, that you want your Lancers back, you know, because the more support that we get, you know, I can bring it to, you know, Mr. Calkins.
He's Doug Miller. I'm Soccer Sam. Have a great soccer weekend.